Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Choosing sides and why Israel must return to Israel. We're going to be talking today about the purpose, the function, and genius of exile and redemption according to the Kabbalah. Kabbalah meaning Jewish mysticism. We're going to be having a rabbi that's coming on the show today to talk about that. And if you are listening live, that means if it's a Tuesday morning here in Israel from 7 to 8 a.m. Holy Time, that means that we are live and you can call into the show with a comment or a question. Or if you're listening in on late Monday night from midnight to 1 a.m. on the Eastern time zone in the United States or the Western Hemisphere there, that means that we are live at those times. So there's a 7-hour difference between New York and Israel. So it means that you can call in live. You can join us in the chat room as well. We're going to be talking about the exile, redemption, the twisting of good and bad, right and wrong, and truth and lies, and anything else that you, any other questions that you might have, again, feel free to join us. Our phone number is on the top of our webpage at israelnewstalkradio.com, israelnewstalkradio.com, and you can call into the show there. All right, I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over. It's so nice to see everybody here from all over the United States, of course, in Israel, and Japan, South Africa, let's see where else here, the United Kingdom, good day to you, Canada, Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, wow, who's listening in from there? Give us a write in, we'd love to hear from you. The Virgin Islands, wow, let's see where else here, France, India, and all over. You know what? I'm running out of time. The music is just coming on now. All right. So when we get back, we're going to be speaking with Rabbi Shira. And you can visit his website in the meantime while we're at our break. It's avrahamshira.com. That's AVRAHAMSHIRA. Avrahamshira.com. You can check out his website. And we're going to be back after the news. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And today we're talking about choosing sides and why Israel must return to Israel. What does that mean? Well, our guest today is Rabbi Avraham Shira. He's a therapist, teacher, and author. His book titles are Eye for an Eye, and his newest book, Universal Hologram, will be out soon. He's also working on another book as well. Very busy guy. He's a teacher of Kabbalah, or Jewish mysticism and prayer. And you can visit his website at avrahamshira.com. And we will put a link to his website on the page where this show is podcasted. So I want to welcome to the show Rabbi Avraham Shira.
Thank you, Tamar. Good morning.
Good morning. It's very good to have you on. All right. So we are seeing today in the world a mishmash. You know, they say in the Messianic era, there's going to be a lot of confusion. And I believe that's what we're seeing today. We have the twisting of good and bad, right and wrong, truth and lies, men are women. you know, the government has your best interests at heart. The pharmaceutical companies have your best interests at heart, et cetera, et cetera. When I learned that the pharmaceutical company wanted to manage my disease and not cure me, I knew, bum, you know, these are drug pushers. They're not really there for my health. It's like the old joke, newspaper. What is the first job of a newspaper? Not to report the news. The first job of a newspaper is to make money. What is the first job of a pharmaceutical company? To make money, right? Okay. All right, so there we are, truth and lies, right and wrong. It's hard to tell the difference today. We're being, with the social media and with regular media, we're being, you know, pushed a message, and people who disagree get censored, and their stories, the truth, is not getting out because they're being suppressed. We live in an exile. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think the first place that I would start is the idea of the verse that says there no evil emerges from the mouth of God. That God is complete goodness, ultimate, complete, eternal goodness. But he created man, and he wanted to give man the gift of free choice. Free choice means there has to be the opposite of goodness, which, of course, is evil. So man was created with the potential to do evil. And, well, we see what's happened from there. Let's not go over it too specifically. But when we created the potential for evil, we acted on that and created these two opposing forces. So we stand at the fulcrum between good and evil, and that's constantly our test and our choice, and it's ultimately our divinity and our redemption. Because when man makes the right choices, he separates good and evil. And we make the right choices and we separate good and evil, then we see truth. And then the whole rest of the pyramid of logic unfolds for the purpose of man, the purpose of suffering, the purpose of exile, the purpose of redemption. It's all wound into that original concept of man taking responsibility for man with God's help and not without God's help. And atheism, the idea that God doesn't exist or God took a vacation or God is you know, in the back room and he doesn't care, is really the beginning of evil. And it's the snake's lie from the garden forward, and that's the paradigm that we work from. Now, in the Messianic era, which we believe we've entered, there is this polarization. The separation of good and evil is pulling. One side is pulling on the other, and the bonds are very tightly wound in us, in every individual, and in countries, and in the human race in general. So when we look at all the concepts, the ideas and historical realities that you're talking about in terms of the greed, because greed is replete throughout humanity. We can blame big pharma. We can blame big farm. We can blame big government. We can blame big tech. You know, blaming is natural. But part of our repair as human beings is not to blame, but to take responsibility for ourselves. And of course, justice is making other people take responsibility, even though they don't want to. And so the lack of justice is really at the root of this problem of how much power money has over the human mind and the worship of money, the cult of money. All these things give power to these entities that you just mentioned.
Okay.
So I hope that helps a little bit. I hope everybody's doing okay out there, because it's not an easy time. The rabbi said they didn't want to be here.
Yes.
2,000 years ago, they wrote, they saw the end and they didn't want to be here.
Right.
Well, we're here.
Yeah. I tell you, it really hurts me now. I feel like I can possibly get through this, but I worry about my children and my grandchildren. I feel almost guilty that they have, you know, I brought them into this world that look what they have to suffer today. Yeah, I know people who let me just take this a little bit towards the government taking over our lives and our bodies, and people who have been damaged by the experimental mRNA injection, and they don't want to get another shot because they were hurt so badly with the first or with the second or with the third. And what do these people do? They're going to lose their livelihoods, but then they can lose their lives. And we know that there are people who have been killed, you know, by this.
We've all had people that have suddenly died, and the linkage, the lack of the mental acceptance of the idea that this thing caused that thing, that the vaccine caused these unfortunate, these terrible events. The fact that we don't want to accept it is part of our repair. Our psychic repair is to fix this idea of the inner resistance to truth, because part of us is true and part of us is not true. We're all working in that. And that, again, the mixing of these forces of good and evil means there's truth and untruth. And we have a hard time even being open to the idea. And that's cognizant dissonance is what it's called. And this cognitive dissonance does not allow me to go past the boundary of what is unacceptable. But what is unacceptable is a fact that I can't accept. And, you know, when you work in rabbinics and you work in psychology, all you hear is all the bad stories. People don't come to me because everything's great. They come to me because things are terrible. And right. And you hear all these bad stories, and eventually you realize what we're working with here. And so we have to be, we can't be children anymore. And it's not Disney La La Land. And, you know, people are suffering and we need to take responsibility. And when we do that, we get blessing, because Hashem Elokechem Emet, God is truth. And when we're true, even if my truth is the lowest truth on the planet, God is still with you in your truth. And when you know that he's with you in your truth, and you can be fearless about being true. And that means, oh, my God, my friend just had a heart attack after taking the vax. And that happened to me, one of my best friends. You know, a few days after he had the second shot, his heart tore open.
Oh,
were there pre-existing
God.
Conditions? Probably. Because I believe the vax has a certain amount of power. And then people's bodies have a certain amount of resistance. And we need to build our resistance, our immune systems, and our get in shape and eat well and think well and do good deeds. And then we create a positive energy field around us that I believe protects us.
Now,
and that's where...
Sorry. I'd like to widen this more than the vaccines. But, you know, we have governments around the world that are taking away our rights. They're forcing people that the only people who have a green pass will have certain privileges. There's a division of society. People can't speak the truth. A man is a woman is a man. People are being censored. I'd like to broaden this to, like, you know, we're living in like a 1984 on steroids. What is Jewish mysticism and the end of days and the Messianic era? How does this all tie in together?
Well, it's pretty dark picture, depending on which pieces of the mystical literature you focus on. On one hand, we have Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, the Gaon of Vilna, who said, there's a tradition that he said that the final war of good and evil will be 12 minutes long. That sounds pretty good. And until you think about the vision in Zechariah 12 that says that there's going to be a cloud that looks like a palm tree. Now, what does that sound like? A cloud that looks like a palm tree sounds like a mushroom cloud to me.
Right.
So a 12-minute war would be very convenient, except what comes after the war is the real problem. What comes after a nuclear event is the real problem. And he says 1/3 of the people will die from plague. Now, plague is a biblical word, and it could mean virus, and it could mean, nuclear poisoning, radioactive poisoning. It could mean a lot of things, but those are the dark sides of the picture. But we have free choice, and as human beings, we have to have faith, and we have to do good to change reality, our own personal reality, our family's reality, our community's reality, and so on. And we all feel pretty helpless about this because it's so big. It's too big for us. How can I worry about the country? I got to worry about my family. I got to pay my bills. No, we see that we're part of a collective. And therefore, when we pray as part of a collective. So people come to me and said, I can't pray. I said, well, have you thought about, we prayed for your cousin in New Jersey? Have you prayed for your grandmother in the old folks home in Florida? Have you prayed for, you know, the stranger you never met on the street who needs your prayer? We don't understand how powerful we can be. But we have, but that power doesn't come from magical thinking. It comes from understanding the idea of Knesset Yisrael, the collusion of the Jewish souls create a concept in Kabbalah called the collective soul. The collective soul, the Jewish people, is the carrier of the divine presence. And so when we connect to the collective, we connect to the divine presence.
Wow.
So that's why.
Yeah. We're just going to a break now, but this is a perfect example of the Shema Yisrael prayer, where we remind ourselves that God is one, and God is one, meaning everything is from God, so we're all one. So we are connected to that person who's on the street who needs our help. We are connected to our cousins. We're connected to everybody and everything. All right, when we get back, we're going to be talking more about the redemption and tools to get there in an easier way.
Okay. Very.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about how Israel must return to Israel. What exactly does that mean? Are we in the times of redemption? I think that most people who believe in God would surmise that we are. So much is happening now, the twisting of good and bad, right and wrong, truth and lies, confusion, censorship, governments taking over. Here to talk about this is Rabbi Avraham Shira from avrahamshira.com. Rabbi, in the last segment, we were talking about how we are recognizing a lot of evil, and we're trying to deal with it. You were saying that the rabbis our prophets, when they saw the future, said that they wouldn't want to live in this time right before the Messiah comes because it's going to be so difficult. So maybe you have some tools to get us through all of this and where we should be heading for?
Yes, there are tools. And the first tool is our attitude of faith. See, faith is a belief system, and attitude is my relationship to it. And so I need to believe in my belief. A lot of people say, oh, I believe in God, but they don't live in that belief. It's like a compartment in their mind they go to on Friday night when they go to synagogue, or on Sunday morning when they go to church. I believe then, but then I'm on my own, and it doesn't work that way. God is with us all the time. The rabbis did also say, when they saw the future, they said, fortunate is the one to be there, which is the opposite idea of, whoa, I didn't want to be there. We are fortunate to be here because we are the pivot of the history of humanity. And everything we do has universal implications. The good that we do now will affect our children, our grandchildren, and the future. And, you know, without talking about the other side of goodness, which we know what that is, we need to improve and create greater and greater systems of unity. And that's why you see there's so much divisiveness being created by what's going on, because that's exactly what the other side wants. Because our power, our strength, you know, is in unity. And holiness is also in unity. So, we're not going to mix terms between the secular and the religious. It's all, the truth is the truth. Whether you're, a Kabbalist, or you're a simple person who hasn't opened a book, the truth is the truth, and the truth is that we need unity as a people, as people who have faced down the reality that we're seeing. Which, you know, when you see a government manipulating the media, then you know there's no turning back. You know, and I've looked back over history, Tamar. Have you seen any great empires come back? Do people think, you know, Donald Trump's going to get reelected and save America? It's never happened before.
A lot of people turn around. Do believe that.
I know
they
believe that. I wish I could support the idea, but I can't, because history does not provide us that example. There are a few places in the Bible where we see the city of Nineveh did tshuva. Why did it do tshuva? Because the king of Nineveh put on sackcloth in the public square and went down on his knees and begged God for forgiveness. Now, have you seen any public officials doing that lately? You know, it takes
no, only to Black Lives Matter did they take the knee.
Right, but you can laugh, but this otherwise, this is a precedent where if the leaders decide to change course, then there's hope. But there's still hope for the individual, especially Jews, because God gave us the land of Israel to come back to, because the whole exile is a giant circle in history. And we see it from Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham was commanded to go to Israel, then commanded to go back to Egypt. And Egypt is exile. Egypt is foreign culture. It is the occult. It is idol worship. It is demonology. And Abraham went there because why did God send Abraham to Egypt after he just told him to come to Israel? But he said no, because there were sparks to be gathered. The Kabbalah tells us the sparks to be gathered means what? What is a spark of God? A spark of God is pure desire that has not yet entered a vessel. So if you want a donut, you have a spark of desire in you, and you put the spark in a donut. Another puts the spark in $1 million. Another puts a spark in a Ferrari. Another puts a spark of God in his love for his wife or for his children or for his Torah or for his land. Or you put the spark wherever you want to put it. That is what we relate to as the divine presence, is these sparks. And we had to go to Egypt to gather the goodness. And we see the ultimate example of this is Noah. Noah faced the flood, and God said, I found one righteous man, Noah. God saved the world for one man. So if God's willing to save the world for one man, Noah and his family, and then God's willing to save the world for 5 million Jews that decide that we're going with the truth and only with God. And, you know, so we have a precedent of success and return and redemption. So then Abraham came back from Egypt. He brought those sparks with him. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He was spiritually connected. And he also was respected by the nations. He was called the Nasi Elohim, the Prince of God, right? And so people understood the Jewish message when they understood Abraham. He came back to the land. So now why do we have to come back to the land now? Because it's the end of exile. We've gathered sparks. There are Jews all over the world. There's Chabad houses in every country almost. It's almost very few people that haven't heard of the Jewish experience. Now, they don't know the things necessarily that we're talking about because it takes a long time to learn all these ideas. But the Jews have to come back to the land. But the main reason is because God promised. And God has to make good on his promise. Why does he have to? Because his name, his reputation is on the line. And that's the same thing Moses said to God. If you destroy these people, erase me from your book. I don't want to be in your book. If the book's going to end bad, I don't want it. I want a happy ending. That's what Moses told God. And God said, you know what? He's right. My reputation is on the line, and we are the carriers of the reputation. We have to succeed because God has to succeed. And we carry that name, and that's why we have to come back to Israel. And that's because when we come back to Israel, the world sees, wow, these people have been around forever, and they're suddenly home again. Ask all the refugees in the world why they can't go back to Syria. Why can't they go back to Greece? Why can't they go back to all their countries? But the Jews come back because we're carrying the spark of something that loves this land and wants to be in this land and was designed for this land. We're such a small people. It's a ridiculous numerical comparison between the Jewish people and the rest of the world. The billions and billions of people compared to what, 10, 15 million in the whole world? It's absurd, the numbers. But that's also the way God works, through the little guy. God works through the little guy because that is more profound, a dramatic statement. A statement to the world, you see, I am good, I make good on my promises, and if you do good, you will get good. Now you say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? That's another whole show that we'll have to answer that question, because it's a theological conundrum that people use to disagree with God. But no, we're Jews and we believe in one God. And, you know, there's so many things that are proof of that. The coming back to Jerusalem, the building of the land, the sprout. The Zohar says just the revegetation of the land is a sign of redemption. Just the fact that there's greenery and trees and fruit on the trees in Israel is the proof of redemption. Because land without fruit is a hard place to live. But now we have fruit, we have vegetables, we have all kinds of ways of surviving here. And that is all part of the redemptive process.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, this is why Israel must be in Israel. It's to show the world, not that we're better. Because it's not about being better. It's about proving the existence of one good, merciful, infinite, perfect creator.
So, you know, it was very inspiring when you just said that, when you were talking about how because Israel's blossomed, we were a desert for thousands of years, and now the Jewish people have come home and we've established ourselves here again, and the land of Israel woke up and it's giving forth, you know, the fruits and vegetables and flowers and produce, and we're selling to Europe and to all over the world. And you see what's happening in our, we're going into Africa and helping them with irrigation and all sorts of things that we've done. So really, Israel has been a huge blessing, and that's very inspiring in what we live in today, a world that for many, it's very bleak. I want to speak up a little bit about people who are being silenced today, whether it has to do with looking at things truthfully, that there are two genders, male and female, and it's not whatever you identify as, that there is government takeover of our lives, that there is that the blurring of borders and the values of today's youth and et cetera, there's so much that we have to correct. I mean, how do we do that when we see that people are being silenced? And I want to take this side. I usually like to try to balance things out, but you know, the other quote unquote side, which is pushing progressivism and the lies and the confusion of gender and morality, etc. They have already the media working for them. They have the governments pushing laws for to make people talk the way that they want them to talk and spout things that they want them to spout and make them fearful of telling the truth. So I want to really give the other side of the matter the microphone and the ability to come out and say things because we're being silenced all the time. So it looks like we're going to another break right now. So I'd like you to ponder that over. Okay. When we get back, it's going to be the last segment of the show today, and maybe through that you'll be able to leave us one last word of, again, what our job is to do as we are seeing the redemption unfold before us. And part of that was a very positive thing that you said, which was, look at the land of Israel today. The Jewish people have come home, and look what's happening. So there is really a lot of good happening, and we have to not lose focus on that as well. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the redemptive process, how to get through it, identifying between good and bad, right and wrong, truth and lies, not being silent, though they try to silence us. We need to speak up because other people need us to speak up. You know, a lot of times when you are in your truth, You say, no, there are only men and there are only women, and stop with this, you know, twisting of reality and this Tower of Babel type of, you know, new age, woke, progressive talk and they're what they want to make the truth. You have to speak out because otherwise other people think, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is okay to men dress up as women. Maybe it is okay that we have this sexual immorality. Maybe it is okay that nobody wants to work and they want to be supported by their governments. Maybe it is. So when you speak out, you are empowering others and you're letting them know that they're not alone and that there are millions and millions and millions and millions of people just like them or just like you. So Rabbi, in this last segment, by the way, we're speaking with Rabbi Avraham Shira from avrahamshira.com. We are in, many of us believe we are in the Messianic era. We're in the redemptive process. And we've seen evil that has become so powerful and at the same time silencing those who are following God, because God is the enemy of this New World Order, Tower of Babel type of thinking. Because then the state, the government isn't the most powerful thing. You'll go with God, and that's a threat to them. So they hate God. They want to kill God. They want to make fun of God. They want to silence people as well. So where would you like to take us in this last segment?
Well, you know, you asked this question about the power of evil, and there are levels of powers of evil. The Kabbalah describes that there's a level of evil that we can transform to good. And then there's a level of evil that resists good. And then there, unfortunately, there is a level of evil that we cannot defeat, that must destroy itself. And you see examples of this all over history. There are dictators that end up just committing suicide because there is no other way to destroy them. They've built such a world around them. And there are people that do repent and do come back and do recognize God and do humble themselves before God. Like we said, the biblical example of the king of Nineveh, but also the Khuzari king converted his whole country. And then we've seen other leaders have been God-fearing and have promoted the concept of return to the truth, so which we perceive as being that there is good and there is evil. Things like homosexuality, I've talked about that on my Patreon site. I have a whole class on gender identity. You know, when we talk about sexual identity, we're talking about individuals. We're not talking about groups. When we talk about groups, we lose the handle of our perspective. We talk about individuals, say people have inclinations for everything. People love money. Then they'll go all the way to their love of money. We'll take them to do sins and do terrible things for the sake of the love of money. Why? Why does a billionaire need another billion? Because ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. The person who loves money will never be satisfied by that, because the only thing that really satisfies us is the love of something greater than us. And money is not greater than us. Money is just a tool for society to get along. In the ancient days, before they minted coins, a society existed by trading and a barter system. And if you created wheat and you took your wheat to market and nobody wanted your wheat, you went home hungry. But now you sell your wheat to a general consortium, and then you have cash to use to buy the things you need to survive and support your family. So you see, money is a good thing. But it's exaggerated into something very evil. And the same thing with sex, and the same thing with beauty, the same thing with sport. Sport is a great thing until it becomes a tool of narcissistic worship, right? Like bodybuilding and things like that. Like, you know, come on, let's be real here. And I lift weights, but I'm not into bodybuilding. I'm into trying to stay in shape and be strong for Hashem. But that doesn't mean I have to go stand in front of the mirror and flex for half an hour. That's ridiculous. So people take good things and they exaggerate them until they're not good anymore. So what we have to do is reduce our exaggerations. The exaggerations are in the place of media. We give power to the media by too much media. We give power to the government by listening. The government has no power if we do not listen, if we cut off those sources of their sources to our mind, right? And so I use the media to get a little bit of news, and then it's enough. You know, 15 minutes of news a day is enough. Now, right. What you're doing tomorrow on your show is such a great thing, because you're opening the subjects open wide for people to really hear alternative views. And so, you know, I think you don't come into the category of media, which is really a form of brainwashing, or at least a form of manipulation to get people to spend money and to give their loyalty to something else than Hashem. Mm-hmm. And a Jewish government, a Jewish leader does not want loyalty for himself. We only want loyalty to God. And if everybody has loyalty to God, we will fix the world very fast. So we have to cut off from the media. We have to speak the truth to ourselves. And you don't have to go preach to homosexuals about their issues. They need to deal with their issues. But if I set an example of joy and love, and I can love people in my life and respect them, but not follow them, but respect them and be honest with them, then they have something to look to. Because people that exaggerate goodness into evil are actually very unhappy people. And the suicide rates of homosexuals and transgenders is so outrageous. If you look at the suicide rates, you wonder, why are all these people killing themselves? It must be something going on there, right? And the same thing with other types of activities. You know, gamblers. I know people that have gambled away their future, their children's future, their houses. What kind of society allows casinos to have tables in front where you can sign off your mortgage and keep gambling? What kind of society? Where's the government? Is that called freedom of choice to allow people to destroy their lives because of the... No, that's not called good government. That's called the manipulation of evil. And what has happened is we've taken the concept of freedom and we've exaggerated it. Freedom of speech doesn't mean I can use four-letter words against my president or my prime minister. Freedom of speech means I'm allowed to speak my truth, but not name call and not insult and not debase other people.
Well, you know, I always tell people that you say what you want to say, but do it with class, you know. You don't have to go down to those levels. You can say it in a nice way, but say what you want to say, but say it in a decent, classy way. Yeah.
So, right. That's true. You know, class takes time too, but but really it's just dignity. When we have human dignity for each other, then I can accept you the way you are. And I can also say, if you're not happy, let's talk about it.
And I like hearing the other side, too. We can learn. We can learn from hearing a different view of things. And I repeat this all the time during my shows. My wise mother always says, if we all thought the same, we would only need one person in this world. Right? All right. So the last 2 minutes that we have, what would you like to leave us with?
Yeah. Well, I think that the real choice facing the world and facing the Jewish people is, where do I go? What do I do? Because, you know, we could easily feel helpless in this situation. We could easily feel helpless if anybody can turn off the switch on the internet, you know, and lose our ability to connect. But we can connect, because the ultimate internet is connecting to the Creator, because He's the psychic connection for everything. And that's how people receive prophecy and divine inspiration. By connecting to the mainframe, all the little PCs connect. So the real word we have to follow is to go back to ourselves, to go back to our true self, which is a spark of God. If He desired to create us, we live in that spark, the desire to be created. And when we understand that we come from there, we want to go back to there. And that this is a concept from the Zohar, that the return means putting a thing back in its place. That's restructuring all of society. And that's how it's going to happen. Whether we want it to, whether it happens nicely or not, this depends on us. And for the Jewish people to say, I want to stay in Muncie and I want to stay in Miami Beach. Okay, people have missions. They have jobs for God to be there. But if I feel lost and lonely and don't have a mission, then maybe my mission is to get to Israel and to build my life here. And especially for people who are disconnected and disenfranchised in the American society and culture. Now, I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm saying that people need to ask the question, why am I unhappy? Why am I to feel disconnected? Why do I feel alone? When I go to the synagogue and people are praying, I can't even tell they're praying. There's no excitement in shul. There's no excitement to do the mitzvot. There's no excitement when we have wonderful festivals. You know, that means I'm missing a spark, and that spark is what we're all after, is that desire. Desire drives the world. And when I understand I'm a Jew and I have a place where people live this, we live this life in Israel. We live the love of Torah. We live the love of the land. You know, we live the love of the sages, the true sages, not the guys that want to fake us out. And when we put that together, we see, wow, I have a place to go. I'm not lost. I'm not homeless. And when you understand that, you call the Aliyah people, you know, nefesh benefesh. You say, I want to come home.
Amen. Well, we have to stop there. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much for being with us, Rabbi Avraham Shira. Israel must return to Israel. We must all return to God and reexamine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Amen. Amen. All the best.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.